welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
All right, well, Chris, let's take a quick look back to last Friday. You know, I thought the running game was the key for you all in winning the game, ball control.
Yeah, it was. You know, we rushed for over 300 yards, and that's always a good night when you can have that kind of output on the ground. I thought we blocked well. We had a few different schemes we worked on this week versus that unique 3-4 they were giving us. I was pleased with the way our tackles. We had to move Alex Cook over to right tackle with the absence of Trevor Cobb. I thought he did a great job in that new position. And just really pleased overall how we were able to, I thought, control the football game on the ground.
Yeah, and then defensively, I thought did a great job against their run game.
Yeah, because they had been putting up big numbers, big average per carry, big numbers all night on the ground, or all year on the ground. And we really took away the first phase of that, which was tackle the dive. And, you know, we held their big fullback to, you know, way below his season average, you know, under 50 yards. And that's key if you're going to stop a triple option. You got to tackle the dive. I said that was one of the keys of it to our to victory, and that's what we were able to do.
You know, this week with Jeff City, kind of a similar thing. They like to run the football.
They do like to run the football, but it really is a different offense. You know, what they have a lot of – they have more, you know, to the sidelines width and kind of a horizontal stretch with what you're trying to do. And they pull a lot more. You know, yeah. Cap City didn't pull their linemen. Jeff City's guards will pull. Sometimes they'll false pull. But, you know, we're going to have to be disciplined, or eye discipline's going to have to be great, just because if you get caught looking in the backfield with all that misdirection motion, it can put you out of position. But, like, you know, tried and true defensive football, keep your eyes in the right spot, make sure you follow the linemen, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to take you where you need to be.
And they do spread it around. I mean, it's not one or two guys.
They do, and they're throwing the ball better this year. You know, Wilson at quarterback is, you know, athletic kid that can run the ball, can throw the ball, and, gosh, you know, and he's a power runner, too. He'll get under center and just run quarterback sneak. You know, they did that one time this year 6 times in a row.
Yeah.
So they'll run power football at you, but they'll also stretch you, too. You know, we're familiar with this offense. We did a good job of shutting it down last year, you know, and it's being disciplined, keeping your eyes in the right place and make sure we tackle well.
You know, third year playing Jeff City, it's still pretty special, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, always. You know, always. I think this game will just kind of grow in its importance for both communities. You know, we've won the first two. You know, I know Jeff City is hungry for a W, and we're hungry to hold on to that city trophy too. So there'll be a lot of emotion in this game, like you would expect.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Hawaii's head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, I think the final score ended up being maybe a little bit closer than I thought the Crusaders' win last week was going to be, but the 24-22 got a little closer at the end than when it should have been. But what were your overall impressions about the Crusaders' win against Capital City last week?
One, the way their offense ran the ball. You know, they ran, for, I think, 318 yards, which was by far the season high. On offense, ran 70 total plays. Again, most of they've run in a game this season. You know, keeping the ball away from the Capital City rushing offense, which was key. And then Capital City only ran it 44 times, which means we slide to the Hawaii's defense, who did a great job. You know, held the Cavaliers to less than half their season rushing total, what they've been averaging a game, just short of 150 when they've been averaging more than 300.
Right.
So, you know, Hawks really won the game at the line of scrimmage last Friday.
And I think you always, as a coach coming in, you know, you always have your talking points or what could possibly lead to a victory or what we need to do well. But I think the thing that pleases people the most is when, hey, we know we've got to do this one thing particularly well, and that is take away the run, and then you can do it. That's got to be a cause for pleasure by the end of the game where you just go, hey, that's we did exactly what we knew we needed to do.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, and Chris just said it over and over after the game last Friday, and again when we talked on Wednesday, said we knew we had to stop the dive. Stop the dive was their number one goal. They wanted to make sure Hurley Jacobs didn't run wild running off that dive, and they didn't. You know, I think Hurley only had 11 carries for like 32 yards.
Yeah,
and you know, and he came in averaging 100 and some yards a game, and that kind of set the tone right there. You know, you take away what they want to do first, make them try to do something different, that's how they end up winning the game.
Right. And so with a with the late game block field goal at the end, and then Capital City runs it and gets a 2-point conversion, the final score looks a lot closer than maybe the 24-14 it probably was really in reality. But I'm sure that the Hawkeyes coaching staff at that point is going, we don't care if it's by 14, we don't care if it's by 2. We snapped the 2-game losing streak, which was what we were on. Things were kind of trending in a bad direction. We righted the ship. So yes. That's, I'm sure, got to be the first point was, hey, let's just get a win, yeah. No matter what it is.
Yeah.
Now the point is, let's try to make it 2 in a row. So you got to get refocused now, and you play at Jefferson City at 7 o'clock tonight. You know, it's a Jays team that evened its record last week at 3-3 and 2-2 in the C-MAC. So you go, okay, two teams kind of getting back in the winning ways. They're meeting this week. You know, this is kind of what sometimes you want, is just let's play somebody and let's just see, if we can keep things going the right direction and stop somebody else from going in the right direction.
Yeah, it has promised to be, the best of the three games, I think, that they've played against each other.
Right.
Probably the most evenly matched right now. And, Hawaii's, you hate to say the goals are the same this week that they were last week, but they are. Control the ball on offense. That may be running the ball. And defense slowing down their run game, because the numbers are eerily similar.
Okay.
But with Capital City and Jeff City have done the run game this year, more than 330 yards a game. Jeff City does do a few things different, and Jeff City has more, getting more guys spread out and running the ball. But, it's kind of the same principle. Keep it away from them. It's the best thing you can do.
Yeah. I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school, because I heard it from a number of sources just in my wanderings around town. But I know that the Crusaders are banged up coming into this one. Some coaches will try to downplay it. Some coaches will be honest about it. Some coaches will say it doesn't matter. Regardless, I know that the Crusaders are vulnerable coming into this one. So how important does that maybe become a storyline heading into tonight's game?
I think vulnerable might be a little strong.
Okay.
It is. It's one of those things that, like Chris said, and it's in the preview, we coach our starters and our backups the same. We have the same expectations for
sure.
Them. So, they're gonna get out there and play with what they got. And I generally I've talked about this in the past, try to watch the last hour or so of practice on Wednesday. There were multiple starters standing on the sideline in shorts during practice, not participating.
Right.
How many of them are gonna play, aren't gonna play? I heard a lot of game time decision type stuff for these guys. I mean, it's obvious some of them are out. We know Corbin Fisher's out for the season. He's been out for a couple weeks. Matthew Malmstrom's out for the season, been out for a couple weeks. Now it's just a matter of, and it's no secret, Brady Rush, who ran for 108 yards in the first half against Capital City before he got hurt, he won't play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, we're going to be down to Mason French, their number three running back, who basically ran for 108 yards in the second half for Hawaii.
Right.
So, they're digging into their depth.
Yeah.
And, they don't want to use injuries as an excuse.
Sure.
They want to, it's next guy up, which is kind of trite, but, I mean, that's the way they are right now.
Right.
I don't know. I've covered Hawaii for more than 30 years now. I can't remember a time when so many starters are potentially going to be out of a game.
Yeah, and it's not even so much so. I mean, sometimes you have injuries that are devastating, because if you have two or three guys in a position group, that can get to be a problem, because all of a sudden that's just a huge weak spot, or that's, you're just decimated at that spot, and that becomes something that somebody can exploit. But when you have plenty of them spread out across a number of groups, then it just kind of it's just, death by a thousand cuts, where at a certain point you're going, okay, we're a step slower here, we're a step slower here, we're a step slower here, then all of a sudden it becomes everything starts to suffer. So you hope that it's not so many that it becomes just overall, such an overall problem that then it hurts every area of the team.
Yeah. One thing I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but back at the talking to him in the season preview with Chris, it's like, he basically said, I really like our starters. I don't know about our depth because it's a lot of unproven kids. And now, he's viewing us kind of as a plus, because, hey, we're getting a look at some of these kids who we're going to be counting on next year, and they're getting under fire. It's not just kind of filling in when we're way ahead or weather or whatever. They're having to play one of the games on the line. And he said, looking ahead to next year, which, good gravy, we're already looking ahead to next year, these guys are getting some valuable experience for down the road.
Yeah, I mean, if you had your druthers as a coach, you'd obviously like to have it against maybe one of the lesser strong teams on your schedule. You don't get to pick that. Sometimes you have to get a trial by fire. Sometimes you have to do it against somebody pretty good. And I guess it's at that point, it's just throw them in the deep end, see if they sink or swim. So all this taken into account, if they're able to overcome some injuries or they're able to kind of still do what they want to do, is there, you know, you mentioned that it's the same probably blueprint as last week, but is there maybe one area where, you know, something pleasant, if they could do this better than this, then maybe that can help overcome some of these deficiencies tonight?
I think it's going to be offense and keeping the ball away from Jepson. You know, I would think that running the ball again tonight, it's going to be important. You know, if they can get to 250, 300 rushing yards again and mix in the pass, I mean, you know, they threw 16 passes last week, I think, caught, you know, 9 of them completions, enough to keep them honest. Don't let Jeff City kind of get set up going, well, they're going to run the ball. You're going to have to throw it a little bit. And the receivers are, for the most part, with except Maelstrom, are healthy. Okay. And so, you know, I think the passing game, being smart with it, is going to be the key with the receivers outside.
You know, we haven't talked about it since maybe early in the season, but it's yet another of a real close game for the Crusaders in terms of travel games. So, you know, they're returning to the same field they played on last week. You know, whenever you're looking for any sorts of advantages, disadvantages, anything to be gained by the fact that you just played on the same field last weekend?
No, you know, I think they'll just treat it just like they have been. You know, they'll dress at the school, just come over to Atkins Stadium, red dressed and ready to go, and get ready back on the bus when they go back. It's, you know, it's kind of nice for me, and kind of nice for them to you know, get a chance to play at home in a big game.
Right.
This is going to be a big game. This, you know, I we'll probably get into it in a minute, but this is still Jeff City Helias.
Right.
For older people like myself, again, still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that they are actually playing each other in football.
Exactly.
And we're gonna, and at some point we're gonna get past that, I guess. But, you know, this game is still going to be special for a lot of people.
Sure. Well, and that was what I was going to go to next, is just the fact that you go, okay, it's easy to realize that the last 2 years it's been kind of, you know, convincing wins for the Crusaders, and so maybe that takes some of the luster off of it. But I do feel like that this is kind of the first year where you kind of start hearing some buzz from the Jays fans, where they don't come in maybe thinking, okay, this is not going to go right. They're thinking that this one can go their way. So therefore, I think there's going to be a buzz around this game that is going to probably surpass the previous two. And I do, like you say, as someone who's been living in this town for a long time and been seen a lot of Jefferson City Helias athletic events, they're still special.
Yeah, there's nothing like them.
And because I think it's still just only the third incarnation of this, it's not like we've played 10 of them and Helias has won 10 and you go, eh, we're so far behind in the rivalry, it's just not even. Well, guess what? If you win this one, all of a sudden it's 2-1. And then it's, you know, all bets are off going into next year. So, you know, I think this one, how much of this is just also going to be a matter of who can kind of manage the emotions of what should be an emotional contest tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I would say don't, if anybody says that it's not a rivalry, they're lying to you.
Right.
Or they don't know what a rivalry is.
Right.
They need to get a dictionary. you know, even after two games. Because, again, they're a mile and a half. They're a mile apart down Stadium Boulevard.
Right.
You know, and they played and everything else for years. And it finally got around to football. And it is a rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, and they definitely want, the kids know each other.
Sure.
But they want to beat each other, too. You know, after the game last week, Capital City Helias kids were just all intermingling. You know, they knew each other. They've been friends since they were little.
Right.
And it's going to be that same type of thing, I think, tonight at the stadium. They just want bragging rights. And this is going to be, this of the three meetings, like I said earlier, is going to be, I think, the most competitive.
Sure.
And so I'm looking forward to, is it going to be a good game? I don't know. But I think it might be a close game.
Yeah. And a hard-fought game.
And a hard-fought game.
I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the simple question is, is Helias 3-0 in a rivalry after this one, or is it 2-1?
I don't know. I think Helias is going to find a way.
Okay.
I think, you know, but it is going to be close. I think you're going to get down to the last couple possessions in the fourth quarter where somebody's going to have to make a play on one side or the other, either offensively or defensively, to try to get the win. I'm going to take Helias 27-23.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.